This is the Killer Innovations Podcast with Phil McKinney. Keep in mind that the information and opinions expressed in this podcast are Phil's and Phil's alone, and they don't necessarily reflect those of his past, current, or future employers. Now, here's Phil McKinney.
Innovation is all about translating ideas into real products, real services, and real solutions. As I've said in the past, ideas without execution are a hobby. And I don't know about you, but I'm not in the hobby business. With that said, the process all starts with ideas. Now, ideas can come from any number of sources. It can come from employees, from customers, from partners, from just lone inventors out there that have come up with a really great idea that they think you might be interested in. They can come in the form of outputs from workshops, brainstorming sessions, call for ideas. You know, you put out a request and people submit. The question is how do you manage your ideas? What I mean is how do you log them? How do you track them? How do you rank them relative to all the other ideas that are in your funnel? Ask yourself the question, where are your ideas today? If you had to go back to all the brainstorming sessions that you've done just over the last few years, could you easily put your hand on the list of ideas that came out of all those brainstorming sessions? Now, many of you are probably saying, well, why would I ever want to do that? I've gone through those lists, I've picked out the best ideas, and those are the ones we're working on. Ideas have value over time. Now, I've seen some organizations use things like spreadsheets, wrote a little Access database, some kind of a Word document or a Google Doc, store them in the cloud, but they're scattered out all over the place, and they're actually scattered across all the different people within your organization. Now, if you truly believe that ideas are the currency of the economy, then you need to manage your ideas as a valued asset. You can't treat them just as scrap pieces of paper or post-it notes stuck next to your monitor. You need to treat them like a valuable asset. So, what's needed in a good idea management system? One, idea capture and tracking. Sounds simple. You need an easy way to put ideas into the system, track them over time, evaluate them, and link them to possibly being part of other ideas that grow into being something of significance. That idea capture needs to be able to be done by people, let's say, on your innovation team, but it should be open to other people within your organization to easily submit an idea that gets into the idea management system. That way, you've got one place to look, one place where all of your assets, this very valuable asset of ideas, is now sitting. Once you have that idea capture in place, now you can use this tool to do idea evaluation. You know, is it, you know, do you open it up and allow, you know, everybody in the organization to look at it and vote, and therefore the idea with the most votes wins? Do you use some kind of a ranking process similar to what I've shared here in the podcast? You know, asking the five key questions and asking people to rank each idea against the questions. Do you crowdsource the feedback, just asking for people to post comments and then the ones that get the most discussion going or ideas that you look at? You need some form of an idea evaluation tool as part of this. How do you bubble up the best ideas to be looked at more seriously by management? Three, a good idea management system allows for ad hoc team collaboration. What I have found with really well-designed tools is, as people submit an idea, they go through search and they find that somebody else is working on an idea that maybe is not quite identical, but it's similar, and it's a different part of the organization. So by simply going into the system with an idea in mind, they find somebody else working on something similar, and they start to team up. They combine their efforts. They combine their areas of expertise. So a very well-designed tool that acts as this kind of social hub of innovation within your organization allows for these ad hoc teams to come together. The result is that you actually get better ideas because you're getting cross-organizational efforts that one side may not be aware of another part of the organization working on something, and those collaborations can really generate some exciting ideas. Number four, support whatever process, steps, gates, whatever your method is for innovation. So once an idea gets into the system, it gets ranked, it gets prioritized, you start down the effort of doing the execution, meaning you're going to turn it from an idea into a real innovation, then this idea management then allows you to track those ideas through whatever the gating process that you're using. One, it just allows you to say, being able to say that, hey, this was a great idea and it's actually in the execution phase, or this idea is still in the evaluation phase. However the phases you use within your organization, your tool needs to match. Now be careful here, because there's a lot of tools out there that will force you to follow their process. You want a tool that follows your process, because your organization is unique. Your decision-making process, your evaluation process, the way your senior executives want to hear about programs and projects. So you need a process that matches you, not you modifying it to match some tool. Number five, it needs to support pausing ideas. Now, what do I mean by pausing an idea? I have a saying that just has gotten ingrained in my brain over the years, having gone through this frustration with ideas that I've been leading in teams, is that the difference between a good idea and a really great idea is not about the idea. It's about the timing. The market's not ready. Customers aren't ready. Your organization's not ready. The regulatory environment from the government is not ready. There's lots of reasons. The key is that if you've got a really good idea and what you're really running up against is this timing, you need the ability to pause an idea. Have an idea that's somewhere in the phases of process, but you capture it in such a way that you can literally hit a pause button and think about it as like sticking a book on the shelf in a library, and then 6 months, a year, 2 years down the line, go back, pull that book out of the library, and pick up where you left off. Now, it's a little bit harder to do with ideas, because the idea really is coming off of a single, off an individual's thoughts, and you have to be able to get back to that individual and get them re-engaged to restart the programs or restart the thinking around the ideas. But it's critical that organizations find a way in their idea management tools to literally be able to pause an idea, capture all of the assets, and then be able to come back and reevaluate those ideas at some point in the future when the timing is right. And the sixth piece that's critical for your idea management system is the ability to issue what I call challenges. Now, if you just sit back and let employees or whoever submit ideas into your idea management tool set, you're basically running your idea management process as if it was an electronic version of a suggestion box. And what you're going to find is that a lot of those ideas then just become incremental. If you really want breakthrough ideas, you need to issue challenges. These are carefully worded questions, problems, areas of interest, and put that out to the general population with some form of incentive for them to spend time thinking of the ideas and approaches that will allow them to answer or solve that in the form of ideas. Well-constructed challenges generate a wealth of really good ideas, and it gets the organization thinking, so it serves two purposes. Not only do you get really good ideas, but you're signaling to the organization kind of where the strategy is going, where the direction of the organization is going. Good idea management tool systems have a way to not only issue these challenges, but capture the ideas. So that becomes a critical part when you're looking at your idea management system. So again, six things that are critical for your idea management system is, one, idea capture and tracking, kind of the basics. Two, idea evaluation. How do you rank and select the best ideas that are in that funnel to be the ones that you want to work on? Three, ad hoc team collaboration, allowing individuals to find other individuals who have submitted a similar idea so that they actually can begin working together. Four, support whatever process you have in place. The tool must match to your process. You should never modify your process to match the tool. Five, support pausing the idea. If you have a really great idea and the timing is wrong, pause it. Come back to it when the timing is right. And six, enable challenges. Rather than just being a reception of ideas, being able to push out to the organization a challenge and therefore trigger ideas to be created. Now, over my career, I've used a lot of different tools, and I'm not going to go in here and give you a recommendation because your organization is different. But let me share with you some of my experiences, not with specific vendors, but as a broader context of the experiences I've had with these tools. Number one, without a system or tool, you're lost. Treating your ideas as an afterthought in the forms of notebooks and scrap pieces of paper and little emails that you've sent around is not going to be successful. You have to be able to treat them as a real asset. So you have to have a tool or something in place. I mean, think about it. You run a brainstorming session. You bring 10 of your best and brightest people into the brainstorming session. You give them a challenge. They crank out, I don't know, a couple hundred ideas. Someone says, I'll type them up and I'll send them around in an email. Someone dutifully types them up, sends them around in an email, and then what happens? Nothing. One, nobody ever picks an idea off the list, right? Because it's just so overwhelming to dig through 200 ideas. But two, the only documentation you have is that email. There's no system to take those ideas, put it in, and publish it out to people to get their views or opinions on it, right? So you have to have the fundamental system. Number two, one of the things I learned in my experiences is don't restrict access to the tool. Open it up to 100% of your organization. When I was running the Innovation Program Office at HP, we actually opened up the tool, what we called the HP Garage, to all 320,000 employees of HP to be able to come in, submit ideas, and see all of the ideas that were in the innovation funnel. Now, some organizations will like totally freak out at that idea, because what happens if someone leaks it, or what happens if information gets out on things that we're working on? You have to get to the point where you trust your employees. And what I have found is the risk of a leak versus the value of including 100% of the employees in the innovation pipeline was critical. So don't restrict. Third, promote your tool constantly and consistently. Every talk in front of employees, every time you're out meeting with anybody, tell them about the tool, send them the URL so they can submit their own ideas, get people to engage on the tool, looking at ideas and providing their feedback. You just can't do this as a one-time blast email and then wait for the employees and everybody to submit their ideas. You need to be the evangelist for your idea management system. You need to be out there telling people that you are actually using it, that you are using that as the mechanism to evaluate programs and projects. Tell the engineering teams that if they want an idea to even get evaluated, the only way that it does get evaluated is if they use that system and submit it. And that'll start training people that this becomes the mechanism by which ideas are then managed and tracked within your organization. So you need to be willing to promote constantly and consistently. And the other point that I would strongly recommend from my experiences is close the loop with the idea submitters. Now, early on in one of the early systems that I was part of, the system got deployed. Employees submitted ideas, engineers submitted ideas, partners submitted ideas into the system, and they didn't hear anything back. And I didn't really appreciate how frustrating that was to people who submitted their ideas. So one of the things that I've put in place when I've deployed these systems since then is that there's a guaranteed turnaround. Someone submits an idea, they're going to hear back. They're going to hear back, I don't know, you know, within 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever is going to work within your approach. But you have to close the loop. They want to hear back. They're used to not hearing anything, right? They submit an idea in the process of a brainstorming session. Someone dutifully sends that email, and then nothing ever happens. So they're used to submitting ideas and dropping into this massive bucket that nothing ever happens to. If you're going to run an idea management system, close the loop with the idea submitters. Give them feedback. In the last area, from my experiences of working with these idea management systems, is think about applying some form of gamification. Now, what I mean by gamification is make it fun. Give them some kind of a point or scoring system so that the people who are more active on the system have more points. They earn rank or whatever it might be. Turn it into a fun process of being involved and getting excited. People like the kind of recognition that a good, well-designed gamification portion of these systems can deliver. So, for instance, issue points for people who submit ideas. Give them points for ideas that make it to the screening process. Give them points for providing feedback. So if they get on the system, maybe they're not a submitter of ideas, but maybe, you know, they're in there and they're providing feedback to other ideas, saying, hey, have you thought about X? Give them points. If their idea gets selected and it's going through the actual innovation process, give them a lot of points for that. And what happens then is one, you can use these point systems to actually find those people across your organization who are most passionate about innovation and turn them into helping you be the evangelist within your organization. But they also then earn credibility across their organization. And what it points out and what I have found when you do these kinds of gamification systems in idea management programs is that you'll find highly creative people who are really good at coming up with ideas who are not part of your normal group that you interact with. They may not even be part of R&D. They may be in part of legal or finance or whatever. And through the process of this gamification, you actually helps you identify the highly creative people within your organizations who may not be on your radar screen. Now, be careful here. It has to be well designed. Now, most of the commercial idea management systems really don't have a gamification portion to it. But it's one of those areas that I think is important, and it proved to be extremely valuable to me in my experience. Idea management is a must-have tool if you're serious about innovation. If you're serious about innovation, you need to treat your ideas as the valuable asset they are. You need to track, inventory, warehouse your ideas, and more importantly, find those idea generators within your organization, those innovation champions. They become the key to the growth of your organization and for your success in the highly competitive markets we all face. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Actually, I want to make you aware of the fact that we're coming up on the 7th anniversary of the Killer Innovations podcast. March 22nd, which actually be in a couple of days after I recorded this, is the 7th anniversary of the podcast. We've gone more than 140 shows. We have more than 90 hours of content in the back catalog. In fact, I was just reflecting, and I went back and listened to the very first podcast, which was actually recorded in the bathroom of a Marriott hotel in Phoenix, Arizona, where I was on a business trip. Now, since that time, fast forward 7 years, the millions of downloads of the podcast has had. We've now spawned a CD, two-disc CD set available over on Amazon, which is the 9 of the most popular shows of the podcast. The book, Beyond the Obvious, which came out in February, was generated at the fact that there were some listeners who had been following the podcast who suggested a book, started down this whole process, and now the book is published by Hyperion, available in hardcover and ebook and audiobook. All of this is a result of you, the listeners, and the feedback and the support that you've given me over the years. And one of the most important benefits that I've gotten out of doing the podcast is the thousands of new friends. You, the listeners, who've contacted me and we've made connections, and many of you who are in the podcasting space, being interviewed on your shows, which I greatly appreciate. And I want to just thank you for that time. Now, what I'm going to ask here is a special ask, given we're coming up on the 7th anniversary of the Killer Innovations podcast. What I'm asking is drop me a note on how you've used this podcast to create something. Whatever it is, nothing is too small or too minor. So drop me a note and describe to me how you've used the podcast to create something. And what I want to do is I want to aggregate these ideas and share them with the Killer Innovations community as a way to spark their own ideas, their own things that they could be using, or ways to be more creative to come up with better ideas. So again, drop me the note, send it to feedback at philmckinney.com. And again, thanks for the time for listening, and we'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.